cliffcentral.com.
That's right, and you can get the Auto Trader podcast on cliffcentral.com. Brand new episodes every single Monday, and it's always chock full of useful information. I don't know if you've noticed, but really, George is dispensing very, very valuable info every single week on that show. It's awesome stuff, and if you haven't listened to it before, it is good to do, and you must check it out ASAP. All righty. So a few things we we didn't get time for in the beginning. But apparently Mash is ready to tell us why he was gallivanting around his complex in a gown the other day. This came up. I overheard him talking in the office on Tuesday, and we'd already had our show on Monday with Mash, and he hadn't told us all about this. Is it normal to be gallivanting around in your gown? Remember we had that story not so long ago about how Spa was trying to convince people not to go out in their gown, not to come and shop in their gown and slippers. They actually had a problem. A lot of people were doing this. It became a bit of a trend. Are you one of those people, Mash? Is that what we're talking about here?
No, I am not one of those people. I do not leave
really?
The complex in my gown.
You promise?
I do not go to the shops in my gown. I promise I do not do that. But I do walk around inside the complex in my gown. I go to the Jasmine's in my gown. I go see friends in my gown.
Okay.
Not really friends, more like a friend.
Okay.
But yeah, only in the complex. I do not leave the complex in my pajamas. I would never do that. But also, I mean, back to the gown story then. Do you have to come clean?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can tell us whatever you want here. I don't know any detail. All I did was overhear you talking about walking around in your gown, and Simpiwe thought it was unacceptable behavior. She was laughing at you, saying, well, if you behave like that, you're going to get a certain kind of treatment from people.
So what Simpiwe was referring to is, so remember I told you guys about the friend of mine in my complex who actually touched my thigh?
Yes.
Okay. So I was actually going to pay that friend a visit. And thing is, 2 weeks ago I was sick. I did tell you guys this.
Yeah.
I was pretty sick. So I went to this friend's place, and the whole point of this was to actually discuss what happened, because I hadn't seen this friend of mine since then, since they actually touched my thigh. So I actually went there after taking my bath. I was pretty sick. I just took my meds as well.
Uh-oh.
And I was just in my gown.
Oh,
just in my gown.
Oh,
so I went to this friend's place and...
So no pajamas underneath?
Nothing.
You had nothing else on? You had no other clothes on? It was just the gown?
It was just the gown.
Jeez,
I went to
this
friend's place.
Really?
And as soon as I got to the door, they're like, oh, hi. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, so I just want to chat quickly. Yeah, you want to chat? They're like, yeah, come to my bedroom. And I'm like, huh? Bedroom to talk. Okay. So cool. I go to their bedroom and we start chatting. And I actually basically friend zoned them sitting right there in their room. I was like, yeah, so I just want this friendship to work, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Oof.
And they started becoming a bit, you know, excited. But I was like, what's going on?
Well, Mash,
what
you're
doing?
In,
no.
You're in a gown. I mean, like, what did you really expect to happen here?
Yeah. Like, if you're going to have
a sick.
In your defense, you're wearing a gown in this person is going to get all the wrong signals. Now, I suddenly understand why Simpiwe was talking. Now I get why Simpiwe was like laughing at you and shouting at you the other day. Okay, so Mash.
Exactly.
I think you have a different idea to what most of us have about certain kinds of signals that you're sending. Let's just put it that way. Now, I'm not going to criticize you. I don't know. You know, you might just be a far more sociable, friendly, kind of affable personality. That's amazing. It's great. That's why you can end up meeting people at the shops and you get invited to their braai. I think that's amazing. It's a personality skill. It's something a lot of people don't have. Well done to you for that. But Mash, you're sending the wrong signals to this person if you don't want them to hit on you, and you arrive at their house in a gown.
Exactly. So, I mean, imagine, I'm just putting myself in that situation. Imagine I had an awkward situation where someone had touched my thigh. And then when I went to go and speak to them about it, I pitched up in a gown with nothing underneath.
Yeah, come on, Mash.
They'd be like, whoa, yeah. I don't know what she's here for.
Yes, exactly. This person was, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, it's none of our business, but if this person was under the impression that you were just coming over to discuss something where you thought that maybe they'd, because as I recall, maybe we just need to remind people here. So this person had made an inappropriate advance on you. You weren't interested in them. They were clearly interested in you. You pitch up in the gown. What do you think they're going to think about that? You didn't cross your mind to go, well, maybe I should put... And you had nothing on under the gown.
Yeah, there's nothing. But in my defense, you can't be this naive. I was pretty thick.
Yeah, but so...
I was pretty thick. I was sniffling at the sniffles and all of that. That's not attractive.
A running nose doesn't stop you from putting on pants and a top.
Exactly.
But I expected this to be a very quick chat, and then I was going to go home and sleep.
So what happened? All right. So now you're basically – this person is now trying to get you into their bedroom, which, I mean, according to the signals, you seem like you might be in the mood for that because, you know, you're there in your gown. They're like, wow, obviously I got the right idea last time. This guy is definitely keen for something because, look, he's in his gown and everything.
No, so I went to the bedroom and then I just basically straight up told them that, for this friendship to work, I'm going to need you to, you know, stop being so, like, you know, touchy and weird because this is very uncomfortable for me.
So, with your tackle hanging out of your gown.
Yeah. Oh, Mash.
Don't be weird. Okay?
Oh, Mash. Yeah. Don't be weird. Just don't pay any attention to what's hanging out from the bottom of my gown here. Jesus, I can't believe you. And you wonder why these things happen to you.
You're not going to win this one.
No.
No,
Mash. These things are not happening to you by mistake, I'm afraid. I hate to be the one to have to tell you.
And that's what Simpio and Dory were telling me. They were yelling at me, basically, in the office.
I heard. That's why I was sitting in my office and overheard it. It wasn't like I was eavesdropping. It was loud.
Yeah, they were like basically reprimanding me, telling me, what the hell did you expect going there in just your gown? What the hell did you expect?
Yeah.
But honestly, I didn't think that far.
Traveling Ninja Turtle says, why didn't you just phone them? Why see them in person anyway? Oh, that's a good question.
Because you don't friend zone people over the phone.
Well,
especially when they live in your complex.
That's very nice of you, but I think maybe you're too nice there. Leanne, any advice on that one?
My case is closed.
Are you horrified?
Yeah, sorry, Mash. You're not gonna win this one.
Yeah, my gown is closed.
I'm glad your gown is closed.
Well, it wasn't clearly. I mean, did any other advances happen after that? Did you resolve the situation amicably from that point on? Is everything sorted now?
As soon as I got there, there were advances. As soon as I got to the bedroom, but of course I did, push back and say, what are you doing?
You smacked the hand.
Actually, friendzone.
Did you smack the hand away?
Yeah, I smacked the hand and I said, I actually came here to friendzone you. I actually came here to reestablish exactly where we're standing.
And now
it seems like you've lost
sorted.
Your footing.
Are you happy now that you've resolved the issue? Well, you know, in that case,
I'm very happy.
I mean, maybe we should just give credit where it's due here, Leanne. Clearly, this guy is, you know, Mash is confident enough to be able to pull this off satisfactorily. Huh?
Maybe we can solve world peace in our gown.
Just give Mash the job. Yeah, let him deal with it. Clearly, he knows what he's doing.
Yes, give me that job.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe we're going after the wrong thing here. We're just applying our very strange morality to his situation. Maybe there's we could do better. We could do like he does. Walk around in our gowns, fixing situations, friend zoning people the proper way. Right?
The correct way. Mm-hmm.
Hanging out with Jay says, be honest, were you wanting something, something?
No, nobody was wanting nothing here. I wasn't wanting anything. Oh, it's something, something. If by that you mean friendship, yeah. That's absolutely true, friendship.
Congo Chris says, imagine Mash sitting on your bed telling you that he really wants things to work out, and his Tolly is hanging out at the bottom of his 19. See, Mash, I'm afraid you bring these things up, everyone's going to have an opinion now.
But I guess I'm used to it.
I appreciate you sharing it with us. I mean, this is the best stuff when we get to hear the actual stories of what's going on. All right, here's a photograph of the closest star to our sun. Or is it? All right, are you ready? Leanne found this picture. Here's a photo of either this is Proxima Centauri or it's something else. You tell us, what is this? Ooh. Is that the closest sun to Earth? Leanne, is that what that is, Proxima Centauri?
All of this has come about since the whole James Webb telescope thing.
Yes, because now we can see.
Telescope's been in use. Now we can see
incredible stuff
in a different light.
Absolutely.
And it was actually a French scientist who tweeted this picture, and he said, isn't this just amazing? This is from the James Webb Space Telescope, and it's... as you said, Proxima Centauri, the closest star to our sun. He said, this level of detail, a new world is revealed every day.
Wow.
And sent this to his more than 90,000 followers. Wow. However, he's now admitted that this glowing celestial body shown in the picture is in fact nothing more than a slice of Spanish chorizo sausage.
That's what I was thinking the whole time.
So was that
neighbor of yours in the complex also thinking it was a chorizo sausage. Oh my God.
But now there's been this big lashing out on Twitter saying, you're a trusted scientist. We have people battling to believe us as it is. And now you're, you know, putting out this nonsense. We're not going to be taken seriously as scientists. But I personally think it was a scientist's joke. I mean, I think that's pretty funny.
But
now he's had to come out, of course, and apologize to everyone.
Oh, God. Like, apologize to who? What happened to our sense of humor? I mean, like, a chorizo sausage joke about Proxima Centauri, it's funny. I mean, even to the most boring scientist in the world, that's bound to be funny, right? Come on. Mm. What's wrong with people?
That's hilarious.
And I think he was also, he mentioned he's also trying to raise a point. About how stupid social media users can be.
Oh, yeah.
Believing everything that they see.
Well, exactly.
So I think it was quite clever, actually.
It's brilliant. I like this because it makes a mockery of all these people who are also like, oh, my God, the scientists are always serious. No, they're not. Scientists also joke and talk nonsense to each other. And if that's a chorizo sausage, good for him. I had no idea that Proxima Centauri even looked like a chorizo sausage. Now you know.
Well, I'm just glad that he's kept the post up because I did go and check and I thought, please tell me you didn't take it down because there were so many people angry with you. But he hasn't. He's kept it up.
Yes, he didn't fall. Yeah.
Well, I know that I've got to mention people liking and subscribing this morning because otherwise I get into trouble. So please like and subscribe. And that also gives me an opening to talk about kitchen appliances. We've discussed the air fryer ad nauseum, which is why we talk about like and subscribe whenever we talk about it. But Mash has found a new device that he's in love with for the kitchen. And listen, if I didn't hear these things from people on the show, I'd never know they existed. I mean, just because of Lebang, I went and bought an air fryer, and I'm still figuring out how the whole thing works. It's not that complicated, but I'm still figuring it out. So, Mash, you found something else that you love.
Yes, yeah, so this is actually an appliance I've had for quite some time. So it is a stick blender. I've had a stick blender for quite some time. I bought it specifically just to do like one specific recipe.
Yeah.
But then I just never used it again.
What do you
for
make with
many
that?
Years? Actually.
What do you make with a stick blender?
So recently I started making my own mayonnaise. Own mayonnaise, my own tomato sauce, all my own sauces, my own Thousand Island sauce. I'm making my own sauces and I'm living it up, and it has changed my life.
Really?
It has changed my life completely. I even posted a video of myself actually making this mayonnaise, and people were so shocked. They're like, "It's that easy." It is that easy. And there's so many things that you keep spending money on, sauces especially, that you can make yourself at home. Wow. It's so easy. Absolutely. It's just a hand stick blender.
It's all about the emulsifying when it comes to making mayonnaise. And that's combining the eggs and oil, am I right?
Yes, it is. And it is so freaking simple. I mean, people are mostly shocked about the amount of egg and the amount of oil and the and just generally the process of making mayonnaise. They're shocked that it's not actually cooked. There's no milk in it. But it's that simple. Just
get a
stick blender and it changes your life.
Very impressive. All right, good. You see, we're learning new things, and I'm absolutely sure that there are plenty of other kitchen appliances we will discover over the course of the next few weeks and learn to use. Let's all learn together. it's become a cooking show.
on that note, here's a little warning with stick blenders. Mash, I'm presuming it has a fast-moving metal blade in the bottom.
Yes, it does.
A friend of mine had made the big mistake, the futile mistake, fatal mistake almost.
Futile or fatal?
Of putting her finger in to the blade section to scoop out some of the mayonnaise. But it was still plugged in and her thumb was still on the button.
Oh!
Why did she do that?
It was just a strange moment that she put her finger in to scrape some of the mayo out and her thumb was still on the button. So, she almost lost the whole tip of her finger. So just be careful of that, I'd say.
That's awful.
Friends.
Yeah.
Why would you put your finger there?
Well, I mean, Mash, why would you even buy a stick blender if you don't know the first thing about mayonnaise? Some people do dumb stuff. Happens. It's unbelievable. Ethan says, from sausage to making mayonnaise. Jesus, guys. Yeah, exactly. Carl is onto this Mash story. He says, Mash would love a stick blender. He pitched up there at his neighbor with his stick blender out, ready to make mayonnaise.
My goodness.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't... Remember that day, Leanne, that I brought a whole bunch of shit from my kitchen in and you guys told me what it all was? Because when I first bought my first flat straight out of working for myself for a while, I'd moved out of my parents' house, it was early 20s, and I bought this flat and I bought the flat with everything in it because the owner needed to go overseas or whatever and they were selling it. And I thought, some of this furniture I'll replace, but let me buy the whole lot because it's in the price of the place. And I'll see what – the guy had a well-kitted out kitchen. He had some nice stuff there. So I thought, I'll buy it all. It was like an extra, I don't know, 50, 60 grand. It wasn't a lot at the time. And I thought, well, now I've got a kitted out kitchen. I can just move straight in, which I did. And there was a whole lot of stuff in that kitchen I didn't understand at all. There was stuff in the drawers that I didn't know what any of these implements were. So I brought it in one day to the show. And between Leanne and the rest of the team, they told me what all this stuff was. I had no idea. I was genuinely baffled by some of these things that I had. I said to them, what do you use this for?
I do remember it.
And it was basic stuff. What? Like there was a garlic crusher. Now, I've never used anything like that in my life. I still have that garlic crusher. It's never been used. You've got to be careful that you don't go buy shit that you're never going to use. Like, I understand that you're into the stick blender now, but you've got to be honest with us, Mash. And if we're still doing the show in, 3 years' time, you've got to tell us honestly if you're still using that stick blender. Because I know people whose kitchens are full. They are chock full of stuff that they no longer use. That has been standing around, taking up space, doesn't get used, never gets taken out of the cupboards, dusty as hell, probably doesn't even work anymore, and, you bought it because you saw it in a TV ad once. That happens to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did get that.
Yeah.
And there are these gimmicks that go around, but a stick blender is something you'll keep forever and use forever. Mm. It's fantastic for when you made soup in a pot and you want to blend the soup. Stick that right in there.
Stick it right in there, Haley.
Sauce that needs to be thin.
Right.
Stick it right in there. Uh-huh. So she says.
Stick it right in there.
Uh-huh. All right.
Maybe I have some secret, fetish. Maybe I want a stick blender in the bedroom as
Yeah,
well.
you want a stick blender. Just tell the truth, Leanne. Don't be embarrassed about it. It's fine. Everybody has their thing, you know?
Fine.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, you can make so many things.
Stick blender.
All right. Yeah. So let's play this game next Monday. You bring an item from the kitchen that you think will confuse the rest of us. And you can show it off. But you've got to take a picture of it so we can see it in detail and put it up on the screen, but then also have the actual thing with you. Because whoever gets the most points out of, let's say, three, you bring three, I bring three, Mash brings three in the end, and we see who gets the highest score. And then that person obviously can go around telling everybody that they are the king or queen of the kitchen. And obviously I'm going to lose, but we'll see how much I lose by. Try to find the most confusing-looking things as well. Whether it's an electronic appliance, whether it's an implement, there's got to be something in your kitchen that you think is going to confuse other people. Bring it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what it is. And you know, these days they are making new machines for everything. I saw this thing the other day that peels an orange for you. You like stick it into this device, and then the device switches on and goes around it. It actually peels the orange for you.
Why would you want that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, some people will spend money on this. Did Gareth give
actually
his...
Reminds me...
Sorry, yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it reminds me of a friend of mine, actually. I remember in high school, he was mad because his mother didn't pay school fees. And the school was actually hounding him and giving him letters to give to his parents. And he was so angry. I was like, what's going on? He's like, my damn mother used my school fees money to buy a machine that peels apples. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So that's what that reminds me of. Right?
It's an expensive apple peeling machine if that it covered the school fees.
Yeah.
I
still haven't seen that machine to this day.
Yeah, I want to know what these things are. So it's always fun. You can make fun of me next week on the show. Let's remember to do that. So three items from your kitchen that you think. It could be like a knife with a specific purpose or, you know, something like that. You guys would know more about this than me. Ethan wants to know, did Gareth already give his opinion on Saturday's fantastic rugby game? I said two sentences. I don't know the first thing about rugby. If you're expecting me to say something insightful about a rugby match, you're wasting your time. I have no idea. Congo Chris says, I was still using my Twister Pro from Verimark up to this year when I got a NutriBullet. Yo, Congo Chris, these companies see you coming. They are ready for you, man. They've already lined up next year's product line for Congo Chris. Just my sister and her boyfriend, I think that they've got a take-a-lot addiction. They get...
Oh,
a
really?
Box delivered to their house every single week. There's something there. And it's like, it's not stupid stuff. It's stuff they need. But they are absolutely addicted to that site. In fact, they've now turned their entire gift-giving exercise to vouchers from these online stores, too. So they not only are addicted themselves, they're also trying to get the rest of us addicted. That's a level above.
Sounds like a cult.
Right.
And it is quite addictive. It's not going to take a lot out of really addictive.
Carl says, and I'm worried about this, says, I have the most confusing kitchen appliance. If you've never seen it, you'll have no clue. We'll send pics. Now, I'm a little bit worried about what kind of pics we're going to receive. But, okay, comment at cliffcentral.com. Go for it. I mean, contact at cliffcentral.com. Ethan says, a NutriBullet is the most impressive appliance I've encountered in the kitchen since the kettle. Well, some people love those things. I've got one of them. I hardly ever use it. I did pull it out the other day.
Same here.
I did. I took it out of the cupboard the other day, and I cleaned all the stuff, and I made like a smoothie. And then, you know, I made another one the next day, another one the next day. And then by day four, it had lost its shine, and I was like, okay, back in the cupboard for you. I'm afraid that's what happens, right?
That's exactly what happens.
Ruth says, I'm going to do some baking today. I've been persuaded. You see, we just by talking about this stuff, now we've got Ruth all excited about baking. Dear Linda says, I'm not fooled into buying all those crazy machines. You probably use them once. That's what I was saying. Exactly. I'm with Dear Linda on this. I just got the Stanley Thermos from Take-A-Lot. It's awesome. You only need to boil the kettle once a day. What is that? Sounds like a winner. That sounds like something we should all have. Vincent says, I have a juicer that I'll give away today. I bought it 4 years ago and I've never used the damn thing. See? Never used.
Does anyone use juices?
Well, this is... I don't want to give away too much for next week, but it's important as to whether it's a centrifugal juicer or if it's the other type. I don't know what the technical name for it is, but it makes a big difference. We'll talk about
that. Really? Oh, ooh. Now I'm I didn't even know there was more than one kind of juicer, so I'm already losing next week. I can see it's going to be horribly embarrassing. I got that Twister Pro in the 90s, says Congo Chris.
Yeah. But it's so interesting. Appliances are going backwards a little bit.
What do you
so,
mean?
So, you know, the movement was from the Twister Pro to the NutriBullet. But I'm seeing more and more things, especially from the Far East, little kitchen gadgets. So much plastic. So much plastic. But and they're cheap-looking plastic, too.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of these things that you have to mechanically pull instead of switching on.
Well, because of electricity, that's what it is. It's because we can't trust Eskom anymore, so people are like, oh, well, we better get the mechanical one. I'm telling you, that's why. Oh.
You pull things and it crushes the garlic for you or kills the garlic. A lot of egg cutting implements that make your egg look cute. Another machine that you also pull, which has a raw egg inside and will mix the white and the yellow.
Yeah, I saw one of those on Instagram this weekend. You know how the ads pop up?
Yeah.
And they're basically these people, they put a little egg in a thing and then they turn a handle and it mixes the yolk and the albumin inside the egg before you even open it.
Mm.
All right, you see, I can't even escape this stuff.
So odd.
It is weird, right? But people love this stuff.
Wow. Yeah, cool happening.
Can I talk about something quickly that I'm annoyed about? Because we are going to get to a new discussion in a moment or two. This is going to be really exciting for I think a lot of us. We've been talking about what you should do with your money, and twice a month on the show we will bring you something called Market Mondays with markets.com. I'm very excited about that. But before we get to that, I got an email over the weekend from one of the couriers that someone had sent me a gift from America. It's someone who we had on the show. Remember that guy who we had on with that lockdown board game that he's invented? And he was telling us about how, you know, during lockdown, he decided he'd make a board game, and it's all about kind of, you know, lockdown and all that stuff. So I was excited to receive this from this friend of mine in America. And he'd packaged it. He got it with a courier, sent it here. So it is sitting in a warehouse in Joburg at the moment waiting for me. And apparently SARS have got involved. So, you know, customs. Whenever anything comes into the country, customs expect you to pay a certain duty. Now, I didn't import a thing. It's a gift someone has sent me. So I'm not bringing in goods to sell. And I'm also not bringing in goods that I've bought. So it's a gift. Guess what SARS want to charge me to release this game from the couriers?
How much?
3,200 rand. So I must, in order to get the gift that this person is out of the kindness of their heart, they have given me the gift for free. It's something that he made for free. He's selling them, but he's giving me this one for free. He's also paid the courier in America to get it to me, and SARS want 3,200 rand for it. I'm like, hang on a second. Where does the government have any kind of role in me having this game? Where did they? How are they involved in it? 3,500? I'm not paying it, so I've said no. I'm sorry, I'm not. You can keep the game, and I sent a very rude note to SARS at the same time. So I'm hoping they get it.
Ooh,
of course they won't.
So annoying.
Isn't that irritating? Like someone sends you something for nothing, for free, out of the kindness of their heart. They also then pay for a courier because you can't trust the South African Post Service, right?
Yes.
And then they send it here.
I mean,
it arrives here, and then SARS wants to take some money off of you. It's ridiculous.
It's like government wanting to tax us on solar energy.
Right.
Absolute.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That'll never make sense to me.
So you talk about like ordering stuff on these online shopping sites, and that's one thing. But if you actually want to get a gift from a friend overseas, that's ridiculous. SARS, the biggest theft syndicate, says Steve. SARS is ripping people. Carl says SARS can go and F themselves. Hoy in the same bin as your TV license. Molly says, send it back, unfortunately. He should have said gift, no commercial value. Well, I'm sure he did.
And Gareth, you're making me very, very nervous now, because I also have a package at the moment that's sitting at the post office, and it's from California. So I'm actually very nervous because it's been sitting there for about 2 months now. I have to go collect it, but I'm scared of the tax they're going to charge me as soon as I get there.
No, they're trying to make every cent they can out of you now. So I'm blown away by the fact that R3,200. I mean, the gift, it didn't cost, he's not even selling it near at that price. And this guy's like, so I copied him on my reply as well. I'm like, just so you know, this is our SARS, our South African Revenue Service that's trying to rip me off.
Embarrassing.
It is, right? Anyway. All right. So as I said, we've got an exciting new feature coming up in a moment or two, Market Mondays with Markets.com. And what's cool about this is that we get to hear about what's going on with people's money, where we can figure out what the stock markets are like, what kinds of clients Markets.com usually have, what they offer, where they're based, all that kind of stuff, because I think we're all looking for ways to make our money work for us. And we'll be speaking to Solomon from Markets.com in a moment or two. We've got lots of good stuff to talk to him about. Beth says, SARS has got a lot worse with customs excise since lockdown. Oh, 2 months. They're talking about your package there at the post office, Mash. It's gone if it was the post office. That depends. Some of them are pretty good. I mean, I told you about Busi, who was at the post office up the road from Cliff Central, and she always used to, like, she ran that place pretty damn well, and she would always, let me know when there was a package there for me and that kind of thing. And she did this for a lot of people, evidently. So there are good people in there. It's just, it's getting to the post office that's often the problem.
Oh.
Yeah. Try ordering.
It's the post office in Springs, so I have to go check it out.
Ooh, okay. Oh, no. Try ordering specialized electronic equipment like navigation control boards. Ooh, can you imagine what they charge for that? Steve says, I bought a laser engraver. Two plastic wall hooks arrived. I got ripped a bit. Ooh, that's terrible. And then, there are all those memes going around on the internet about, like, if you order from Wish. And Wish is like this cheap version of all the other online stores. So whenever you order something from Wish that, like, let's say, it's a cup, it's going to be the worst kind of cup that you can get, right?
What I ordered versus what I got.
Correct.
Yes. That's how they meme it.
All right. Well, let us welcome this morning Solomon Gunden, who is going to join us to talk about Markets.com. And he's the managing director of Finalto in South Africa, a global market specialist, a trader, and he's also a seasoned banker. Solomon, it's nice to see you. How are you?
Morning, guys. I'm good. Are you well?
Excellent. Thank you. It's good to have you on the show. And we're looking forward to and excited to have something new on cliffcentral.com with markets.com. So just tell us quickly, because I think a lot of people, are new traders. They're looking for a safe place to start. Maybe there's some people who are listening now who are experienced traders who are looking for low spreads, multi-assets, high tech. Markets.com is really for everybody. So tell us a little bit about the business and kind of what markets.com is all about and what the association to Finalto is.
Sure. Markets.com is a business inside of Finalto. It is the retail trading arm of Finalto. The Finalto group consists of predominantly four different businesses. One is Markets.com. Mm-hmm. It is a fintech business that develops tech for big banks or for big institutions that do not have the technology. The third piece is it's a liquidity provider. It provides liquidity. We have a massive liquidity desk sitting out in dealing centers in London, and it provides liquidity to the global market. And the final piece is, in Finalto, is the CRM or data piece. We manage massive amounts of data, and we have an understanding of how to manage data, and we make this accessible to brokers or financial service providers that don't have such capabilities.
That sounds fantastic. All right, so what is the business of markets.com? Is it a trading platform? Is it a place that gives you information? Like, help us to understand this from, you know, from a dummy like me, from my point of view.
Got you. So Markets is, yes, it's definitely a trading platform. It's an online trading platform. The platform is basically a portal into exchanges or into assets that are traded on a global scale. It's not necessarily an exchange traded asset portal. It could be a non-exchange traded asset portal, but it gives you access to a multiple of assets. For example, you could trade indices like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, the JSE. You could trade single stock futures like Anglo Rand, or you could trade the fintech stocks in the U.S.
Oh, wow.
You could also trade cryptocurrencies, foreign exchange. We trade what we call gray markets. So before there's an IPO or before there's a initial public offering, we make a gray price, and you could trade that before the listing. And of course, there's other assets that we'll bring onto the market, like exchange traded futures and so on.
This is amazing. All right, so Solomon, help me understand this quickly, because that's a huge range of products. A lot of people are, maybe they're already involved in trading, maybe they've already, you know, bought certain assets, they're interested in certain markets, and you can do it all in one place here on markets.com, which is kind of exciting, because they may have 10 different things that they have to open up, 10 different tabs on their you know, browser, they may be on 10 different sites, they may be in 10 different places. So Markets can allow you to do all of this at once, right, in one place at one time.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Markets philosophy is quite simple. It's to be responsible and to provide all of the trading tools or research tools to the discerning trader, whether you're a novice trader, you're a professional trader, or you trade as an institution. So inside the Markets domain, inside the single sign-on Markets platform, you can access the research. We've got external research providers. Mm-hmm. We create our own content through our analysts, who sits out in the UK. We also produce a lot of the technical information that's inside the platform.
Right.
So for the fundamental trader that looks for long-term investments or look for long-term trading analysis, you'll find it inside the research portal, and then you can go and stick your trading to the platform. For the guy that's a technical trader, most of our FX and gold guys are technical traders. They'll trade short-term. You'll find that there's lots of tools. Like, for example, you could look at the charting. You could look at some of the analysis tools that allows you to plot your stop losses, profit takes, and put on short positions. So it caters for everybody right across from novice to the professional trader.
I love this because they also, the information component is so important. And anybody who's ever made money, whether it's in trading or investing long term or anything else, and we've talked to a lot of them on the show, they all say to you, you need more information. Of course, you guys are not... you're not giving financial advice, but you allow people access to all the other places where they can get financial advice, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We don't give financial advice. The system, through algorithmic information, might direct or give you some sort of sense. If you look at the charts, for example, inside markets.com, you can plot a trade and you can see the trend, and you can then start to put on your own trade. It's very short term, however. But if you want advice, of course, you can source advice from many. As you know, there's many different sources in terms of market information,
sure,
economic information, sure, technical information. Some of the service providers are contributors to our platform. For example, we've got Reuters that contributes information inside the platform. But besides that, information ratio is wide and vast for any trader that's looking to trade.
All right, so who's your typical client? I mean, you've indicated that you'd have technical traders. You can have people who are maybe day traders, people who are looking for initial public offerings, crypto traders. Is there any kind of person in particular that you're looking for? How do I know if I'm a markets.com client?
I mean, historically, we've had... We've had a certain Allison category that traded onto trading platforms like ourselves. We've also found that historically, because the numbers were so small, because a lot of people left institutions to kind of take over their investments or their savings and kind of trade for them. What we've found is a migration, however. People are starting to take ownership. I think COVID had something to do with it. Mm-hmm. People sat home. They've had a lot of time to spend on their investments, their portfolios, and analyze the market. So we've seen a lot of people in this, not just in South Africa. It started out in the UK. We've now seen it's becoming predominant in South Africa. That guys are sitting on the platform and looking to take over some portion of their portfolios, or look at it as a, call it a frugal hack, to make additional money by trading unemployment and so on and so forth. So right. The typical client has now changed. The profile, the dynamic has changed. The demographic has changed. We're finding younger people coming to the platform. You're finding people with lesser deposit values coming to the platform. And the good thing about markets is that we've understood we're not just a global brand that's forcing a global ether, a global strategy or a global plan to the local market. Mm-hmm. We become a uniquely South African brand because we understand we've got to cater for the entire demographic profile, the lower deposit, the high deposit, the passive trader, the complex trader, the guy that knows the market and the guy that does not. One of the things we've done to make sure we're responsible and we've geared the market up in a very responsible way is that we've started weekend classes for guys that want to attend on online weekend classes to understand what is responsible trading. How do you navigate through the platform? How do you read research? How do you stop if there's a potential loss? How do you stop your losses and not lose all of your equity? So those are kind of the things we've had to do to ensure the new guy that comes to the market is finding a great experience inside the platform.
That's terrific. So you're actually offering people classes as well to learn how to trade better. You've got the inputs of all these various, the different stock markets, the different IPOs that listed, crypto markets, a bunch of different assets. So we'll be looking at the market as a whole, which I think is very, very exciting. But I think it's great that you're offering people free or the ability to learn information that can help them to understand the market better.
Yeah, absolutely, Gareth. I mean, we've got to act responsibly. So we're not about chasing bottom line.
Sure.
We're about ensuring that we've got longevity. We're ensuring that we are a highly regulated broker. Quite frankly, we're one of the very few brokers with what we call an ODP license, an over-the-counter derivative product license.
Right.
And I think that's a very key point because if a client for the first time he's going to enter the trading markets, that's the first question you should ask of any of his broker. Do you hold an ODP license? And if you do not, then I'd caution moving forward with that broker because the regulator ensures that there's certain liquidity requirements, there's certain capital requirements, there's appropriateness testing so that people don't lose money. You can. The potential for loss is inherent. We know that. But we don't want people to lose money. We want them to act responsibly. We've got to be responsible first before clients are.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And a lot of people have been swindled by a lot of these fly-by-night operations. And these licenses and these conditions for trading properly are massively important. Nobody needs to be taken for a ride. And that's also why we wanted to have someone on the show who has not only access to all of these different markets, but also someone who is responsible and who has the required licenses so that we know we're dealing with a real business here and not some, some dodgy bunch of people. Because, I mean, I'm sure you know, Solomon, there are plenty of people in your world, in the finance world, who have made a quick buck and then they think they're the real deal. They think that they can now go on and manage other people's money. You can't just do that, right?
No, absolutely, and you shouldn't do that. I mean, at the end of the day, it is a consumer-based business. Some people, it's a disposable income that they're putting into a trading portfolio and trying to earn something out of it. So, yes, you cannot just not add a value add to a client by just taking money, holding it, and giving it back to them or not giving it back to them because it's in a lost position. Our value add is that, once again, as I mentioned, it's a portal. It's making sure we've got them to a point of responsible trading before we give them execution rights. And we, you know, the way the platform works is if we were, if there's a broker in it for money, there'll be a commission base. We don't charge commissions. We're at the lowest points in our spread. So we're not in it to make a quick buck and just move on to the next client. We're here for longevity.
I love it. It sounds terrific. You're also going to be giving us plenty of intel on what is going on in the markets, which I think is very, very exciting for many of us. You know, people are looking for more information, but information that is particular to them and information which will be useful in helping them to trade better. And that's exactly why we're thrilled to have markets.com on cliffcentral.com from here on in. That was Markets Mondays, which is with Solomon Gundan. Here he is. We'll also be speaking to some of your people in the UK, right? We're going to speak to some of your market specialists, so that's exciting. And we'll get to hear from different people every second week. Here it is. Twice a month on the show, we will bring you Markets Mondays with Markets.com. And you can find out more by going onto the internet, and you can check out all of their different handles. They're on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and on YouTube, Markets.com. And we'll put all those links up on Cliff Central as well. They will be back again in 2 weeks. You can follow the link on CliffCentral.com to register with them. Solomon, great to see you. Thank you very much for being on the show this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So there it is, Markets Mondays, brought to you by Markets.com. Very, very cool stuff. And we will chat to Solomon and his team very, very soon to find out even more about how we can make our money work harder for us. Very cool. All right, so what's your plan for the public holiday, Mash and Leanne Moll? What are you guys going to be doing?
Probably get absolutely drunk.
Are you going to get drunk?
Well, okay.
Yeah, well, hey, Leanne, that used to be your modus operandi when you were Mash's age. Don't pretend you're better than that.
Well, the thing is, it's, yeah, so you can get drunk tonight, but not tomorrow night, right?
Yes, tonight. Yeah. Okay. I might just perhaps in the evening do like a little braai, very quick braai, invite maybe two friends over or something. And
Your two new friends. And knowing you, though, you'll make four new friends during the course of the day today, and there'll be 20 people at your house tonight.
I probably will, eh, Chicken?
You can wear your gown tonight when you bribe.
Yes. I'll definitely do that. And I'll make mayonnaise. Now, try to be careful with those. Yeah, make some mayonnaise for everyone. It'll be fun.
All right, I love it. All right.
What are you guys getting up to?
I've got a dinner with two friends. They've just got back from an amazing holiday in Ibiza. So they're going to make me dinner tonight. I'm going to catch up with them. And that's it. Otherwise, I'm chilling for the rest of the day today and tomorrow. I mean, there's just – look, let's not kid ourselves. You're going to be at work today. I've got a couple of things I have to do from an admin point of view, make a few payments, send a few emails out, you know, doing some general admin. But let's not kid ourselves. No one's going to be organizing meetings today. No one's going to be doing major deals today. There's not going to be any serious discussions or any of that stuff today in terms of business, right? Who are we trying to kid?
Yeah, nobody's doing
yeah,
that.
Look, no. For me, it's a little different because my clients are in the UK. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately,
normal day.
The show must go on for me.
Right.
But I do get the benefit of these surprise bank holidays.
Yeah.
When the rest of you are working, which is great.
That's true. All right. Well, I hope everybody's ready to have a fun day today and get some cool stuff done. And even if it's not productive, yeah, just maybe make it a day for self, I don't know, self-pampering. Do something fun. You know,
self-pleasure.
Self-pleasure. Mm-hmm. One of my friends was...
I'm all about self-pleasure.
One of my friends was informed by the airline that her flight was moved by a day. So the flight was canceled for the day that she thought it was. So she had this bonus day that she would have spent traveling anyway. She hadn't made any appointments. She didn't have anything that she needed to do. She was already packed and ready to go. So I said to her, well, why don't you... You know, go for a massage. Do something. Treat yourself to something today. I know that none of us have, like, tons of cash lying around, spare money. But occasionally it's nice to, like, treat yourself. So see if you can do something like that today. That could make it a really fun way to spend the afternoon. Mm. What do you think?
Yeah, live a nice day.
Yeah.
Please fire it. Yeah, this afternoon.
Carl is, of course, such a kind feminist. He's going to use all the dishes tonight, so his wife has something to do on Women's Day. Isn't that nice? Very good. Yep. That's terrific. That's absolutely lovely. What a terrific human being. Imagine being married to that. She must. What a lucky girl she is.
What a lucky girl.
Well, if he's joking, then it's fine, because then at least you're married to someone who's got a sense of humor, which I know Carl does have, so that's okay.
Yep. Well, sometimes that's the only thing that keeps the marriage together, is a sense of humor. Isn't that about right? Okay, before we go, though, I didn't want to start the show with this or get it going too early, but here's a riddle on a grave, which Leanne found. Only Leanne finds these kinds of things, but here it is. So this is written on someone's grave, and you can explain to us what it is. It looks like a normal tombstone. The guy's name is Philip Albert Strauss Jr., and he obviously was born in 1951. It doesn't say when he died. It says, "What do dead people eat, which if live people eat, they die? Answer on the other side." And what is it?
Well, any guesses? Can you think of something that what can dead people
what
eat?
What can dead people eat?
What do they eat, actually? But if live people eat,
embalming fluid?
Well, are they technically eating it? No, because they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
So I got this from you. I got this from you last night,
yeah.
And I didn't actually understand it. So I just thought, well, you'll explain it to me in the morning, and I gave it not an actual second thought. Is this to do with maybe the reflection on this tombstone, because it's quite polished? Is there maybe something growing in those plants that's poisonous for living people or something, that, you know, underground?
Well, yeah, thank you. You think even more than I did. I certainly didn't get the answer, and I was becoming frustrated. So I would have been one of the people who went onto the other side of the tombstone to find the answer.
Does he mean the other side? Is he just talking about the other side as in, like, the life-death barrier? It's like, I'm going to the other side. Cheers, guys. See you later.
Well, that's why it's also clever, because he's put other and side with starting with capitalized letters.
Mm.
So it is a bit sinister. So the person who actually wrote the story said he and a friend were looking at it, and eventually the one gave up and went to the back of the tombstone. And his friend said, "What's on that side?" And he said, "Nothing."
Oh.
And that is the answer.
That is
okay.
The answer.
Okay, so dead people eat nothing, and if live people eat nothing, then they die. Oh.
We die.
Dun, da, 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 da. Oh. Bum, bum. That's a hell of a way to end the show this morning. All right. Okay, so we ended the show with a nice riddle from Leanne and a dead guy called Philip Strauss Jr. Nice.
There we go.
Wow.
All right, very good. Okay, nice work, guys. Have a happy one. Parallel Parking got it right long before you revealed the answer. So obviously we've got some smart people here. Very, very smart people. Yeah. And he got it.
Thank goodness.
He got it long ago. It's 7:55. It's already like 2.5 minutes ago that he figured it out. Not like us idiots. Okay, guys, have a happy day. That is your Monday morning, and we will see you tomorrow. No, we won't, because tomorrow's a holiday. We'll see you on Wednesday. That's when we'll be back. Wednesday morning, 6 a.m., bright and early. Mash, Leanne, and I. Cheers. We will see you then. Bye, everybody.
CliffCentral.com